In light of the specifications, then, does he make any assumption about revaluation of surrounding properties whose values might be affected by the increase?
No, right, but I'm talking about appreciation of the units that were building.
He hasn't made any assumption about that at all. Part of the analysis that we could do that I was just talking about is we can make a projection. If it's $75 million today, what's the value of the year after it's constructed and the year after that? So there would be a reasonable assumption that you could make. We'd probably do it as a range of what the value changes might be and what the... It's much harder, as Casey knows, to predict what the sales tax is going to be. And the reality is we will never know what the sales tax creation is. But we can make reasonable estimates based on the square foot and type of use, that kind of thing.
Okay. Did the person who prepared this document for us make any assumptions about increased values of the units in the future?
No.
I'm not sure that document.
Yeah,
we're not offering like that.
I know we're not. I'm just asking.
That's a good point. Not at all.
And so,
where that year is, how many years that you have to go before you hit that crossover point, we don't know. We haven't done the numbers yet.
Right.
And some of it could be influenced by some of the ideas that John has. And so what I would offer is we've got the rough bookends of this discussion. Now, we've got a rough number from Casey. That might change some depending on what Senate Wallace got and what he decided to do in regard to affordable housing location. Or some other factor. And John's going to present another bookend, which is probably no closer to reality than Casey's number is, like, man, in terms of where we finally end up. We don't know.
We'll spend 3 hours.
You spend more than 3 hours.
We'll get done 3 hours.
Just think what John could do if he had real time. Okay, so you ready for this, Casey? All right, John?
Well, I know Casey's going to respond by saying marketability, and he may have a valid point about increasing the price point. And I guess before I talk about numbers, how do we determine whether there's market demand for units that are with a higher price point? Is there any way to do that? Doing what they're projecting.
Well, the reality is the number of comparables, of actual sales comparables in this marketplace, you've got on one hand. And we've looked at those, and we've incorporated that into our thinking. That's the highest, without a doubt.
And what is the price?
It's about 380, frankly.
Is a different.
When you ask him, he says he's got two or three. I mean, I see him almost daily, so it's like three left. But it's interesting. You think there used to be 32 apartment units in that building, and you turn it into 7, and you're going to build a 32-unit apartment building a block wide.
Right.
I mean, in terms of sustainable concept, is what this is about on that. But anyway, that's your only comparable that I'm aware of.
It's the only one that's over 300 foot out of anything that's sold. You know, you obviously have
in Chapel Hill.
In Chapel Hill, right.
Well, then you've got, what's it called?
Rosemary Gorge and Redmond. We've already, you know.
Franklin Grove. Those are in the suits.
They're all in the suits. Franklin Grove is about 250. You have most of that online is in the your range is 250 to 280 some range. So we're projecting out at a price that we feel is reasonable.
But we're
pioneers, and unfortunately sometimes the pioneers get the arrows in the back. But we're projecting out to where we feel like if this product was on the market. This is where we could go. And the crystal ball is the fact that this product isn't out in the marketplace right now. So.
And another thing I'm being done, you know, is that this isn't, we're not selling into Chicago or Atlanta or D.C. You know, you show up in D.C. with 150 in the market, you probably can't get this many people to show up at a meeting. But, I mean, you know, selling 150 is something a lot different than selling 7.
Just a couple in Raleigh, you know, and I'm familiar with that market, and have been selling condos there for the last 4 or 5 years. You know, we are just now seeing the $300 foot price point being broken in downtown Raleigh, with a lot of effort from the city and the town, and totals, as they will say, $1 billion worth of public and private investments going into downtown, and we're just getting to that point, and we're still seeing absorption in terms of 2-3 units per month. So when you look at a 150 some unit project, and there's projects, like the Gardens on Glenwood, the interest meter has really, reduced those revenues with a project of 80 some units that took 5-6 years to sell because it was at that kind of higher price point.
So the reality is we're still the same place we were when we started out. And that is creating the market. The council's original consideration from the ERA study was, well, there is no market, and what they're saying is they know they could make rental work, and the council said, well, we want for sale housing. And Casey is going to be creating this market, and so there's certainly room for guessing about what that number is going to be in terms of what the dollar rate per square foot is that you can sell this.
Right.
And I think the reality on that point is that, and I was just trying to do some quick math, Casey and me, our team, my father, our company, is the one that's going to be signing probably a $65-70 million
right.
personal guarantee on a loan and putting up $10 million, $8 million, whatever the number is of equity.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would not do it on the assumption that the only way for the project to work is for us to sell them at $350 a foot. We just wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But now, having said that, if I think my and I just did some quick math, and I think if in fact the project sold at $350 a foot and all else remained the same, mm-hmm. we would earn a 15% margin, which is our minimum threshold, which mm-hmm. we believe is on the low end of what the market requires.
That's your internal company.
Right. The standard we apply to all other projects. That's the minimum. Why not? We won't do it.
Right.
So then, conversely, if we did better than $350 a foot, let's say we came out of the gate at $350 a foot, mm-hmm. and we did better, well, to the extent we do better than $350 a foot, 20% of that quote better
right.
goes to the town.
Right.
So okay, that helps me a lot because that's what I'm concerned about. There's no return on land and no return on my investment. I didn't want to see the price point go to $400, and you grab all the profits.
Hasn't that been part of the deal since
so long?
I want to sort of talk past each other. And I think the thing that what there was some discussion early on, and John was talking about, how does the town get revenue sharing? How does the town get a piece of the
yeah.
act? And what a lot of people jump through the initial conclusion is, okay, well, if you're saying it's $315 a foot and you get $350 a foot, for everything you get above $350 a foot, give us 20% of it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if these costs are still the same, then that's the case. And the problem of taking it off the revenues is, one unit might have marble floors and stainless steel appliances, and the other might have oak floors and plain appliances.
Yeah. We negotiated specific language that would determine how that calculation would be made. So
the protection to the town is in the margin, not in the
gross.
Not in the gross.
Right. I understand.
To your point, Cal, regarding units, though, one thing in general that we have seen is we're now saying we've got 1,500 for new residential units that are in the pipeline in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. Five years ago, that was well under 100, probably
right.
40 or 50. And price points had gone up. Mm-hmm. They've gone up to a point, really, where the reality is where a developer can now make some money doing it. When mm-hmm. bought it 6 years ago, it didn't really make economic sense. And mm-hmm. you know, there were some pioneers that that worked along those lines and tried to get them, so they helped out in you know, some areas. Mm-hmm. But it has, you know, now they're talking about 1,500, you know, and the last numbers I heard going up to 2,000 mm-hmm. because that synergy is now right. being created in that area.
Sam Reuters, yeah, there. Mm-hmm. A lot of interesting
guys. Right, and they're the second project now.
Right.
And not quite a second project. Mm-hmm. So that has been a, you know, a momentum generator, which this project certainly is going to be out here.
And it also will be beneficial to you because it helps banks and other lenders understand, and it helps people who have been considering that kind of housing understand that it's viable and that they can get a return mm-hmm. later. It helps you out a lot.
They don't have any with underground parking.
Go ahead, John.
Well, the preamble to this, what I was trying to do quickly last night was to show the committee what can happen with a combination of cash flow enhancements and reduction in cost. So keep that in mind. So what I was proposing was an increase of 10% in the price point, and that would generate I'm going to give you the exact numbers, $6.5 million of increased income. And then what I did is I took the premiums and upgrades and I increased them from $12,000 to $18,000.
And John, explain what that means and what the implications
are. Well, they know the means.
Council members may not know what it means. I'm not sure I know what it means.
It's premiums as in granite countertops and kitchens and that kind of thing. I mean, they're improvements that are very attractive to consumers.
Have you reflected the cost of those premiums?
I have not.
Since we do a lot of condominium process, I mean, typically on premiums, we mark them up anywhere from 50 to 100%, but the reality of it is, we really don't make any money on it because you get some away, there's going to be mistakes made, there's going to be someone's marble box going to break, and you're going to replace it. At the end of the day, you're pricing it high enough so that you're making your customer happy, and you hope they're not digging your pocket, but you probably don't make any money on it. And we really don't have a talent.
Well, regardless, the margins are low.
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, they're low. Just because there are issues going on. You're really doing it more.
We do it more for the customer.
For ourselves. Yeah. It's a hassle.
No, it's like a change order. So.
The market's not even going to say, oh, you want options? But, you know, if you want to do it yourself, you're not going to. I hear you need to do it.
Okay, yeah, I hear you.
So raise premiums upgrades from 12 to 18,000.
Yeah, on the non-affordable, and on the 26 units, I went from 10 to 16,000. And suppose that those generate about $1 million of increased cash flow.
So part of what you guys got off the affordable units, which makes them less affordable.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
We're not going to charge premiums on
it.
So,
you know,
okay.
And then I don't know how you want to, let's discuss about the second parking space, because I suspect there's going to be a real demand for two-bedroom, three-bedroom owners, and the penthouse only is to want a second car. And what I did is, since I didn't have the ability to have the time to calculate all of what the cost implications are, I just said if you made a net profit of $10,000, on the 97 parking spaces that are for three bedrooms and the penthouse, and I said it's $1 million, $1 million. Whether that's possible or not, I don't know. I mean, but it was just a way of increasing cash flow.
We looked at those spaces as being the town's spaces, and the town was you know, getting that revenue. Whether it was replacing existing revenue you had or whatever that increase in revenue was. Mm-hmm. This is, we're really talented on spaces and we've been selling because otherwise we're reducing your...
That makes your point. We really need to do the parking allocation analysis.
So. But I think the thing though, because that's a good point though about the second parking system, I'm glad John raised that. I think the thing that we would all agree that at a price, most purchasers would take a second space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We can go through the math 100 times over. Let's call the cost to deliver an underground parking space $40,000, and then architecture, engineering, all those things.
Right.
I think we would all agree that the price that a consumer would pay is probably not $40,000. I would think. Some might. I mean, if you're spending $1 million on a condo, you might spend $40,000. I think if you're spending $300,000 on a condo and you get one parking space, I don't think you're spending $40,000.
As a point of reference, it's 15 to 20 in a garage or model. That's right. A fair amount for me.
So I think
to buy
a single space. So I think that the reality still is that the parking business, if you're building underground parking and this is the value, is a bad business. Having said that, John's point, and what we didn't want to get into the details, is what we're saying is we want the 144, I think it is.
Right.
In our financial package, we're saying 144 of the 330 spaces that we build are going to our condominium purchasers for free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The other spaces, we want you to have a certain number of them to be made available to our condominium purchasers. You can charge them whatever you want. Whatever the market will bear, you can charge them. Whatever you're charging other people, you can charge them. But that revenue is yours.
Mm-hmm.
So in effect, John's right, there is some revenue to be counted there. Whatever it is, you're going to get. And we need to think long and hard about what that is that we calculate. But we're not assuming it in our revenues.
Right. Your tax is below the line somewhere other than in what's
correct
here.
Correct.
So you can sell it, or you can lease it.
Right. Whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. First, we got to figure out on the allocation.
No, you're not going to want it, but when it's done, it won't be a benefit to you.
No.
It'll be a negative to you.
But I know it's the number he said earlier. He said if the interest on one space was $228 a month, it's just not a good business. And now the third story underground would cost like $6.5 million or more to build that. I'm looking at a bad business longer.
It's a reasonable thing to do because our business is to operate a lot of bad business. Our business is to provide a service that's important to the public. And there are lots of times when we make an investment in a business that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you're pretty
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So how much
money? And in round figures, you're
going to have to
cut.
So
how many more spaces?
And 160 more spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Which you could sell at 40, we could use, whatever. I mean, but it's just, yeah.
You're probably trading dollars. And at best, and you would have to assume. I think the inherent problem on the financial plan is that in year 12, you can support the revenues will easily support servicing the COPs. In year 1, the problem, and that's the anything you add, any costs you add that don't have revenues that are a tremendous percentage of those costs put us further away from the objective. So, I mean, but it might be the thing, when we get down with the I want to say this, I think the thing, so we don't have too many variables, we get the rest of John's feedback, we make the changes we need to make from our discussion today, we narrow down with the actual gap is. You all may decide that there's enough revenue that you may say, yeah, the actual gap may be $9 million, but we want to make the gap 15 and a half, because we want to go ahead and pay for another level of parking. Had you built a wall of debt underground, it would have cost you whatever extra would have cost you then, and today you'd be happy you did it, right, instead of the situation you've got. So I think, it doesn't mean it's bad money. It's expensive.
That's a good point.
It's expensive.
Okay.
There are institutions around the town, possibly even the university, that pay too much for things all the time. Like, gosh, it's that.
Yeah.
Well, you're getting a big benefit for going underground with the parking, and it costs more. But as far as the life on that street, I mean, that's the biggest killer of life on the street is our above ground parking.
You're getting a big benefit. It's the public investment in the downtown that we're making. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the essential element here.
Right.
Some people may think it's stupid, and then the parking lot's lovely.
And there may be a base to form of the system district because of those kind of things. Between the public plazas and the garage.
Right. That's going to slow us down. If we could avoid that, we can probably come to.
I'm just trying to reduce your capital outlay.
I have a question, and this is sort of taking it a different. Is there some way for us to cash out of parking spaces at Wallace? Can we sell those spaces?
How big is your COP on it? $1.5 million is the outstanding balance, or is it more?
I don't remember. I don't know the answer to that question. I'll have to take a look at it.
Because to me, that is like the silent giant in this, the fact that the town has already built those spaces. And if you...
You're still paying for it.
Well,
but that's reasonably financed, right?
Mm-hmm. What about putting more spaces on top of it? Wasn't it designed to be able to...
You could add another layer easily, you know?
I mean, I'm just taking a long-term part.
Maybe that's part of phase two. I don't know.
My gut feeling is it would be a complication financially. I'm not sure you can sell it for enough to pay the debt. That's my gut feeling. I got a good look.
So you have to release it.
Right.
We can probably figure out a way to do that.
You can also swap collateral. Remember you were talking about that? You can just tell them.
We can do that. But I'm not sure there's enough value on a first place basis to pay the debt. Parking spaces still, there's not that many people are going to want to buy those parking spaces. And so they're not going to bring the full retail value.
But we can sell them with these units.
Well, we could. And they're not going to be willing to pay full retail value. I need to go look at the numbers.
We're going to run out of time if we don't hear John's comments.
Infrastructure construction.
One other point. If you did that, then you'd be really cutting the number of public parking spaces available. And that would be the biggest drawback.
But aren't they already leased?
If you sold them all, you're not selling them all. Because that's the only way you could cash out on the parking. We had to satisfy the full debt before we could do that.
The simple thing you can do is quit doing modifications.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about
that. That'll do wonders for your bottom line, and it'll do wonders for your popularity.
Right now, there's not enough demand to do away with it. But if we help you meet your demand, it'll still be in line with it.
So, interest-bearing construction.
Okay, it looks like you're going back to the 24 months, and I was wondering why. I see you did.
I think a shortened period of time
Here's what we need to do. Mm-hmm. On the interest rate construction, because I'm not sure the interest rate's even right anymore, because prime's gone up by 4%
since it started.
3% since it started. What we will do is we will prepare a mock projected loan draw schedule, and we'll say what our interest rate assumptions are going forward. We'll use some economic standards, mm-hmm. and we'll give you that. Because I think the whole thing about average balance, right. number of months outstanding, you also have to consider the fact that we have to, not only is it time to build it, but it's time to finish absorbing and selling. So we'll give you a full detailed schedule on that will address that. And I don't know, that number, we always use rules of thumb for that number, and we're never right. So let us do that.
And that's what I'm doing, using industry standards of 18 months. Anyway, that was worth $1.5 million. Reduction. And then the fifth and last one was the parking cost and the square feet per space. I guess I'm just surprised it's still at 392. So I took an industry standard of 3.25 was your number. I took 50% of that reduction of 67 square feet. And so the 358 square feet per space instead of your 392, and I saved another $1 million. So.
What are the dimensions of our spaces in this
office? I don't know. But I mean, we laid this out several different ways, and if you have, particularly in going
in any site, you have rents or difficulty. You have a certain, you can create a more efficient, the perfect parking deck would be a larger footprint, this parking deck, where you would be parking, you'd be double parking your ramps on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the inability because of the dimensions of the site in order to do that. So we're losing efficiency there.
We can show you some perfect parking decks. We've built them before.
Yeah, there's, I mean, there.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking you to do is to check and make it as efficient as possible.
Yeah, that was basically when we started the re-efficiency program, that was like anywhere I see that is the number one thing is to start with parking layout. And the tail end on the parking drives and everything. Column location, the build drive.
But we need to say what the size of the space are. And that's the easiest way to add a space is move paint. I mean, you gotta be realistic about the fact that I don't
know. Maybe we should have smaller cars than I have.
No.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. Maybe that's the way to do it. Maybe you assume 20% are compact cars.
Right. Yeah, but I don't know. Our deck right up there is the best experience of that.
You're not aggravating that.
It's just not factual.
It can really be aggravating.
That's what you want to say today.
I mean, I once actually looked at a project where people wanted to build six tennis courts in a space where there wasn't room for one, and it was amazing how cheap that worked out.
But I think making sure that the deck is as efficient as possible to be able to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And John's right, maybe there would be some areas that were designated only for combat cars, and you can make that work.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back to the wireless deck, and I'll kick myself if I don't. So, we're not going to
talk to you.
So, you're going to build this building on Henderson Street. And it may or may not be, you're going to have some market units in it,
right?
For sure. You can put the parking under that building?
No, we're going to use a portion of the 55 spaces that you're going to let us use. And you're going to collect the monthly rent for it.
Right. But those spaces have to be a credit from the town side as far as cash going into the deal. We fill up those spaces.
That's back to my earlier book. We can have them as a credit. That's, you're going to get them. I mean, if you want to count them as a credit and then we get the money for it, we can
hold that. But if you're going to do it, you're basically using the same numbers.
Here's the history of building units and the wall stack was always as follows. We're going to build units on there, near there. And all you all have promised to do is say, we're going to make, on a priority basis, 55 of those, however many spaces you have there, available to our purchasers.
Right.
But and whatever you charge, we actually, I think, even negotiated an MOU,
$85,
you could raise it by CPI or something like that.
Right.
That you were going to make them available. So, yeah, it is your contribution.
We may have to switch that way of thinking, because, this may be too much of a mess, but let me you're selling those units in the pro forma similar to what you're selling your units in the pro forma.
A little bit,
but basically the same. And you're avoiding that $40,000 construction charge. So, in my mind, if we make those 50 spots available, that's $40,000 times 50 that is in the deal.
Stacy is saying he will do that, and he will then add $40,000 on his cost.
You know, if you're looking at a way to make you feel better about the fact that the town's making more contribution than we're giving you credit for, you're right. But it won't change this.
But I'm saying that you don't have to build them. So I mean, you're talking about real costs and real.
Right. We have to project the cost of building them. What we're saying is, they're your spaces. You already own them. You already borrowed money to build them. They're going to continue to be your spaces. All we're asking you is that as a courtesy to our residents, make 55 of them available, and they charge them whatever rate you want.
I'm going to say it a different way. I'm going to reinterpret. What I think Casey is saying is, we got to have parking spaces for his residents. Let's say it's 40 spaces, whatever the number is. Got to have 40 spaces. I can get them one of two ways. I can either build them somewhere, and I'll have the cost of those spaces, or and I'll charge that as part of my cost for this whole project, or I can rent them from you, and I'll charge that as a part of the cost, or you can cut me out, and you can deal directly with the residents. And so if we change the deal, so he said, we will make those spaces available, but you have to buy them from us. He would say, sure, I don't mind that. What's the price? We say $40,000. He says, okay, I add that to my cost, and therefore the gap is now increased by $1.6 million. Am I understanding what you're saying?
The bottom line, it won't change the
numbers. So it would be $1.6 million cost.
If there's a way to sell them, then it's real dollars that the town
has to turn off
to give
us.
Has to give
them to pay the client. So we, I think the idea that there's these assets that are adjacent to our project or under the project that have value. Is a good train of thought. I think at the end of the day, once we determine what the real gap is, and once we determine the town's willingness to participate in closing that gap, those assets will play a role in how that gap gets financed. I don't think they'll change the gap, but they'll be, we may decide we're going to pay you this to cover the debt service for that, and you're going to turn it
fine. I got it.
Somebody will voice from that.
And they're making an advance, and then they're going to anyway.
Get considered at this point, in the near future.
So they're getting advantage in doing exactly that.
John, you said you had five things. One was raise the prices by 10%, the other was raise the premium and upgrade number, the other one was our interest during construction.
Second part of the space.
Interest rates.
Interest rate, and then the garage.
It's $11 million.
That's right.
But in all seriousness, I think the thing, the second parking spaces, I think, is a sister item to what you just described, and that is revenue. If we can get it from the customer, you want to have the customer pay us, and we pay you. You want to have the customer pay you, whatever it is. I think that won't, at the end of the day, I don't believe that'll close this gap. It may help get the town comfortable with the fact that they can, that the future revenues can support financing the gap. So raising the prices and raising the premium upgrades, I think those are all good ideas we're gonna try that out and do them. But I'm not prepared. I don't need any time to think about that. I'm not prepared to sign a 60-some-odd million-dollar construction loan to put up all this equity on the basis that I've got to sell them for $350 a foot. I hope I sell them for $350 a foot, but that's just not a risk. It's not acceptable risk. The interest during construction, they're probably, this number, these assumptions are probably wrong. It may be too much time. The interest may be low. The balancing may be wrong. We're going to prepare a schedule. It'll be based upon our experience with projects like this, how the payments come out. We're going to set a schedule with you, and we can talk about the schedule. And we're going to take another look at the parking gap to see if we can squeeze any more efficiencies out of it, including looking at the dimensions of the spaces. I don't want to be involved. I don't want to have my name attached to something where 100% of the spaces are spaces like the spaces out there, because the spaces is not functional.
Are you going to look at going down 3 levels?
No, I think what we ought to do on the three-level discussion is when we're finished with this analysis, which, by the way, won't take us past the end of next week, and we'll have it probably done before the end of next week. When we're finished with that, and we look at what the gap is, and my hope is that it'll be less than 11.35. I have a feeling it won't be zero. I have a feeling we won't have dented into it as much as we all hope. And then we talk about, because the town has some research that the town really needs to do on these other revenues that were accounted, which maybe could, some of it, at least on a preliminary basis, I guess, could be done in a week or two. Put our heads back together on that. We may determine that there is enough other evidence that can be grabbed to build a third level, a third subterranean level, and we're happy to do it. We can't pay for it, but we're happy to do it. And I mean, the reality is no different than the decision we're leaning toward making on the wall step. And once we build this, we can't have a third subterranean level, obviously.
It becomes a way for us to testify for the participation. Mm-hmm. For the participation. The public good is enhanced, and you know, there's a lot of different ways for us to offload them.
It just makes your committee easier.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's true.
And part of what we'll do is, using John Florin's numbers, figure out what kind of debt situation that would create, and what kind of revenue opportunities it would create, and what the cash flow would be on that too. We can do that.
And it will. I mean, we want to be in a position where we're going full speed ahead sooner rather than later. That decision can be made. The third level, we can have for you the information with cooperation from the town. Mm-hmm. At whatever hearing we have, the next time we have a hearing before the full council, and it can be an either or. So look, you can issue $16 million of COPs and have X number of parking spaces, and here's how long it takes to get back, or you can issue 9.5 or whatever the number is, and here's how many parking spaces, and here's how long it will take back.
The whole thing gets into a greater state of flux, though. I mean, your determination not to build the third or first, depending on which direction you look at it from, debt, I mean, the bottom level of the debt is based on the fact that you need three or four stories to justify it. But how much of it would you want to use? I mean, think about it. If you had a bank story and you took 40 spaces that way, then you see what I'm saying?
We would put the floor back on, and that would probably create demand for another 35 to 40 spaces that we would be interested in.
So almost 25% participation, right, theoretically.
But
I mean, that's just another
fact. In the menu, we would contemplate that in the menu.
Yeah, no, that's, I think that can be helpful.
Can I ask, it's a related question, but and it's speculation at this point, but Svenska? Are you committed to working with him? Are you going to put this out to bid? And from what you've seen in the market, is
the other way.
I mean, there are pre-construction. There's a member of our team. They're in our RFP. There are pre-con team member.
Okay.
Do we dare get a second thing?
We have got a second pitch.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You should have shared that with me, because I'm skeptical of things. We
have got a second pitch. We you know, look at the, just so you all understand exactly how at the end of the day we're going to be working with our contractor. We will likely work in the situation where we're going to negotiate a fee, we're going to negotiate the general conditions, and then it costs what it costs. So if in this estimate we're assuming that it's $8 million of concrete or $8 million of steel, but in fact it's only $6 million of steel, when it gets done, that's only going to spend $6 million worth of steel. Again, that benefit will ultimately accrue to the town should we blow through the 15% margin. So we have done a second opinion.
John, any other points you want to
make? Yeah, I did want to confirm what the parking cost is. Is the parking cost the delta plus the 5.4 down at the below?
It's the delta plus the 5.4 plus a portion of the site work, you know, the excavation and so forth, plus a portion of the A&E. I mean, there's a number of line items. Well, actually, plus a portion of the construction interest, because you got to carry the cost of.
Well, on this schedule, what you're looking at is we've split out in two line items the parking cost between the underground delta and the parking. So the combination of those two.
But it's not just that.
Yeah.
It's also a portion of site work. It's also a portion of the architect and engineering. It's also a portion of the construction interest. It's also a portion of the contingency. It's a portion of everything.
The committee should know that just these two numbers alone, based on 330 spaces, is $36,275.
Right.
What case is
that? Architecture, engineering, construction,
so you're telling me it's worse. It's like 40 or something.
It's over 40.
It's probably over 40.
That's not surprising in our market.
Yeah. It's over 40 when you add the financing of so and so.
University
is doing very good. Your number's always in one of
us. Yeah. Well, one of the things that in the last 2 years that has affected, and that's part of this situation, is concrete itself has doubled. You know, we're looking at a $5 rate increase at the beginning of this year. So, concrete has gone from $52 a yard to about $100 a yard. So, material cost itself has doubled. That doesn't reflect the total picture, but that's one of the big items. That's just been in the last probably year or so.
Has anybody ever explained to you why that is? I can't figure it out.
So one of the big things is there are two cement fields in the world.
Bank limestone. I mean, it's just
there only said there are no new supplies.
That's right. The problem. Is it's a heavy
It's
the same situation.
No, that's a large resource. Bank limestone. Anybody can set, they have that
sign.
There again, there's another one.
That's right, Ken. All
right. So,
to get to these 100 yards of pump with an alternative material.
Couple of points on the schedule. Casey is going to work to produce some numbers and get them done. Part of the membership we need is the parking allocation.
That would give you, we don't need a week to get that.
I understand. But we need those numbers so we can turn our numbers around pretty quickly as well. The earliest time that something could go to the council, I believe, would likely be September 27th, simply because of the amount of stuff you're already trying to handle on September 11th, and the time required to have another session with Casey after some numbers have been refined, that sort of thing. If that would work, then it seems like maybe we should aim to have things going back to the full council on the 27th. George hasn't had an opportunity to do another review prior to that, and with opportunity for discussion as need be at staff level and with John, that kind of thing. If that makes sense to you all, and if that makes sense to you, Casey.
Well, let me put my two cents on that. This committee needs time to A, meet with the mayor, mm-hmm. B, have more conversations with staff, and C, have plenty of conversation with other council members
right.
before this gets broadcast in real time. So, it all depends, that date depends on how quickly we
can slide back. That's the earliest it could be done, I think.
Well, I think it's worth shooting for that, but we really would need by the end of next week to have this information in-house so that mm-hmm. we can take our time to process it correctly.
I don't know if John can help us with that schedule or not. It's going to take Casey a few days to produce numbers for John. Other clients as well, right?
Thanks. I'll do our best to get it done in half the time, during a week, spend 2 weeks.
That would be great.
But that's from when you get the data.
Right.
And you're going to need to be clear and expressing the case of the data that you need so we won't have a problem there.
Yeah, I reserve the right to have a couple of days to look at these numbers instead of just a 2 hour question.
Right. And we'll do what we need to do to try to have enough conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just did a real quick one.
Council's priority and, it's sort of, we need to move it or not.
Right.
I just did a real quick calculation. I don't think construction costs are going to continue to go at 30%, but if they do, it's on the 2.5% per month, which is on this project, it's $2 million a month.
Mm-hmm. You've been saying that from the first time you sat down here.
We've
got to
move fast.
Serious money.
Mm-hmm. If I were these guys, I'd be upset. I mean, we're costing this project's gone up what? Probably going up a quarter, maybe about $20 million.
Right.
I expect some of that's due to our the pace that we're at. Mm-hmm. We are, as far as I'm concerned, we're way behind, in my opinion.
Let me ask a question, because I want to make sure that I understand what you want to see in final form on however many days prior to the 27th it has to be in to meet your requirements of distribution. Presumably are we going to come in with nothing on the Wallace deck and say, the committee discussed it, we can't afford to build a peer review plan, and the other plans we have aren't in the best long-term interest of the town.
Oh, you guys going to recommend that to the council? I certainly am.
We are going to come in with the schematics for the Henderson building, right? And it'll be some variation. It may just be what we already have, with the description of how we think it may over time change, because the council doesn't see it before it gets final approval. We're going to have, I guess, a menu on the affordable. And I guess, do you want us to present it as 100% of the affordable is in Henderson, and for each unit you tell us to take out of Henderson and put in lot 5, the gap grows by $50,000? Or do you want us,
my advice would be to present it in accordance with the council's policy, which is distributed, and then roughly. There's some language in the agreement that we worked through. Just use that language, and which is a rough distribution, allows some slip of one way or the other. And then present it the way you would recommend it from your business standpoint,
and with the savings.
Just out of respect for the council's policy, I think you should present it that way. Is this is the first offer, and this is what I would recommend from my business perspective.
Okay.
Does that seem reasonable?
Where's on the
lot 3 parking spaces? I'm assuming the affordable units in lot 5 would not have a parking space.
We've already got our family agreement for 55 spaces. There's no obligation. Okay. We have to give the affordable purchaser their parking space under their unit.
That's correct.
We are going to present, to the extent they've changed, at least the angle that has changed on lot 5, which would be the Rosemary Street, we're going to present something a little bit more refined than that. But what we probably will do, we'll either fully develop it and show it in detail, or we're going to just lay in the old building and show the courtyard changes. I don't want to get into a debate about are we changing the architecture, because we're not. And today, we wouldn't be ready to even propose any suggestions for that by September 27th. It's just not in the heart. So we're going to basically show the architecture as best we can on the 27th. We're going to show revised site
plan. If it is true, and I hope it is, it would be important to say, we learned from Dean Mollick's work, and we're committed to using those ideas as we develop our architecture.
That's true.
Okay.
We will even try, if possible, to meet with him prior to the 27th and show him revised site plan.
That would be great if you could do that.
He's a busy guy, so we can, but we will certainly.
He's also very reasonable and very accessible, and if you call him, it's possible you can work that out.
Okay.
He's in the country, he'll probably do it.
Now,
you'd be better off showing no architecture if you're going to show rendering that is real different than what we saw.
We recognize that. And we may, in fact, like to show no architecture.
I think that.
Because I
let's show
architecture.
Okay, so we're going to show no architecture. We're just going to show, we're going to revise
the boxes.
Yeah,
go off
the boxes.
Okay. We're going to have numbers in this much detail, not in this much detail.
John, what more do you need than what they provide? Because this is where I want to make sure we're real clear about what John needs.
Because it's a condominium project, I guess I can remember this. I know what they're doing. I know why it's in this format. I mean, ideally, I would like to see the retail, but I'm okay with this.
Okay.
I would really like to have a final building program in a spreadsheet format. That'd be great.
Okay.
Number of parking spaces and
right.
What's your leasing, what's the town right. Zones, all that.
We have a very clear parking plan.
Right. Well, but I'm talking about all the square footages, retail square feet, and parking spaces required for that retail space, parking spaces required for condominiums.
Right.
Can you do that, Jason?
Yes.
And the final document?
Yes. And then in terms of the financial structure,
mm-hmm.
where I'm still not clear is, what is it that we're supposed to do about the financial plan to finance the gap, and what is it that you all are going to do?
You shouldn't, you know, John's going to help us figure out what we would propose as a financial plan and what we would think would be reasonable as a gap. And there may be some discussion that we have there, but explain our concepts and how we would approach it. And at some point, we're going to need to get Ralph and Glenn Hardeman to help us with a legal structure that is perfectly defensible in court and consistent with the local government commission's interests and that sort of thing. And we may still want to have some rent being paid and some money being transferred back, that kind of thing. But I think we need to work on those ideas and develop them, because that's something that you can't really do for us.
We got to see how the numbers look.
Yeah,
making those
happen. That's right.
So
we have that obligation. We need to get back to you as quickly as we can, so you can understand what we're thinking about and make sure that you're willing to go that route.
So in order for you to complete that analysis, you need to start on the revenue projections, what it supports in terms of COPs.
That's right.
And what we owe you for you to be able to do that is this information on parking.
That's correct.
And you also, so that's how you're going to determine on the revenue side how you can access monies. You need John to tell you that when we say it's going to cost $83 million, that's reasonable.
Right.
You don't really need that to start your other work.
Oh, no.
Correct?
No.
Okay.
No.
So my question is, am I going to walk into a meeting, you know, in this room 3 hours before a public hearing, and have you guys tell me, by the way, all we can afford to give you is $4 million?
No, we're going to have another meeting with the committee after the committee has had a session with ASIU, so they can figure out what they're willing to recommend to their peers on the council.
Uh-huh.
And then we're going to have to meet with you, get agreement on what's going to be recommended for the full council.
So are you envisioning another meeting like this prior to the 27th?
Yes.
And not on the 26th?
And not on the 26th.
Yeah. Okay. And so can you guys give me some suggestions?
That's what I'm trying to work for, is if we aim for the 27th.
I want to aim for the 27th.
What is realistic in terms of getting back together? And now I have to turn to Roger. Because he's going to be the one guiding the discussion after September 1, or beginning September 1. And Roger at this point probably has no idea as to what's workable, because he just hadn't had any opportunity to see much of this process other than what he's seen the last 2 days. Chris, you're better than anybody else at laying out schedules. Take a stab at a schedule that you think would work.
Okay.
What would it be?
Right now?
Right now.
Well,
work backward from the 27th. Assume that we need a meeting with Casey in which we would review everything that we're proposing to present, and some time to work through that, and some time to make adjustments after that.
And don't you have a decision on the 20th, the 21st? 20th,
yeah.
Jeez.
I would recommend that council committee try to meet, like, as soon as possible, and then have, shoot for the week right after Labor Day, which is the 5th. It may be later that week for the negotiating session.
It's going to have to be.
Something like that.
That would pick,
three weeks.
Say some dates so that people can
get a sense of it. Monday the 4th is a holiday, Tuesday the 5th, might be a possibility, or Wednesday the 6th would be 3 weeks from today.
Oh, I thought you were saying.
Wednesday the 6th.
So you're saying have a committee meet with Casey on the 6th?
Yeah, the negotiation probably our
this
same meeting.
This same meeting
with our planning. But recognizing that is Labor Day week, which people go on.
That's all right with me.
Okay. I know. The council committee would need to have the council members would need to meet before then, maybe as early as
the committee can be.
We can work on that.
Bring issues for the 6th or 7th?
I can't handle the 6th. Okay, I got a speaking in the way to go.
How about early the week after Labor Day?
How about 7th?
Okay,
7th.
7th, 7th.
Great.
And what time?
Can you blink and you get your cut the third
hour? Yeah, I'll leave it. It's going to be early, so I can get here about 12:30, 1 o'clock.
So 2 o'clock in the afternoon, would that work, Jason?
Sure. I just want to suggest a thought on, and I'd be curious to do a Ralph thing. I think we're not ready for lawyers. You mentioned Glenn, I think.
No. We're just talking about the internal.
I just want to make
sure. We need Glenn's advice to us.
Right.
That's awful.
But I have my attorney.
No.
We have a business deal.
Glenn's not going to be able to meet.
I just want to make sure what I was clear.
Glenn's not going to be able to meet.
I like attorneys.
We have a lot of money. Other than a lot of work on that.
Right, we have one attorney sitting right over here.
We need to do work on that. But once we get a deal, we'll just everything appropriate. That's right. The two of them. All right.
Okay. Glenn's a different kind of attorney than you
said. He is. Hired him. Okay. I'll do the best I can to help this move along and to make sure we hit these targets. And I think we can do our end of it.
So you're going to be in the next meeting?
I promised Roger I will do whatever he wants me to do to be of assistance to him. It won't be free, and therefore he probably won't answer. If he wants to help, I'll come and help him. He knows that. But it won't be free.
Everybody knows. Right. And Kim, I just want to reiterate the point about I want to know what assumptions we're making about revaluations as we look at the debt service.
As we did projections, we will project increases in taxes by year.
Thanks.
All right. I really appreciate everybody doing this work with us.
Thanks,
Al.
Is the table
going on?
Yeah,
meeting's
going to be at the club.
We are adjourned.